Welcome to Let's Do It Radio on the homepage of doitallinthemall.com. Welcome to everyone, especially to all of our first-time listeners worldwide. Today is Wednesday, broadcasting out of Yakima, Washington, and guest speaker Stephanie Lott from Houston. We'll then be ready for discussion. In the meantime, call us at 845-241-9985. And now we'll hear from our speaker today.
Welcome to Let's Do It Radio. I am Stephanie Whitfield Lott. It is what it is. Our topic today is, yes, spiritual warfare. The haters will hate, or the haters are going to hate. We're going to listen to words from this inspirational and motivational, starting with spiritual warfare, put on the armor of God. And then we'll be right back and have our discussion.
Right now, we are in the midst of a supernatural war. This is a war between light and darkness. It's a war between good and evil. It's a war between Christ and Antichrist. This supernatural war is a fight to the finish. It's not until you get tired or you get weary. We're not doing this in our strength. We're doing it in God's strength. St. Paul gives this battle cry, put on the whole armor of God. That is a command. It is not a request. It is for your benefit.
You be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. He says you put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. He says for our struggle it is not against flesh and blood, but it is against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. He says, so therefore, you better lay down all your earthly weapons that do not work and take up some weapons that will actually have benefits in your life. He says, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm, he says you ought to just stand firm, therefore. In this passage, the Apostle Paul introduces, almost for the first time, at least this overtly, he introduces the concept of spiritual warfare.
Paul says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Fight the good fight of faith. We're more than conquerors through Christ. St. Paul says in Colossians 2:15 that on the cross, quote, Jesus was spoiling powers and principalities and making a public show of Satan. The Bible says, for this cause came Christ into the world to destroy the works of the devil. The message is that Christ went to the cross to defeat Satan. Now the point I'm making here is this. You cannot believe in redemption of the cross and not believe in the purpose of the cross. And the purpose of the cross was to destroy a very real devil whose objective is to destroy you.
The Apostle Paul says you have an enemy and he's very, very real. And he's banking on the fact that you will forget he is there.
There is a satanic force in this universe that's trying to deceive, divide, and to destroy, and he's being far too successful. And there'll never come a time in your life where Satan decides to leave you alone.
But the fact is, the same Bible that tells you there is a real God tells you there's a very real devil. With demonic forces, highly organized, totally ruthless, committed to destroying you. And that those demon powers will attack your mind and attack your body and attack your marriage and attack your finances and attack your children and attack your relationships and attack your church.
That it's not your spouse who is the problem. There's an enemy. It's not your boss who is the problem. There is an enemy. It's not even your own personal internal turmoil that is the main problem. There is an enemy who lives to stir dissension and division and to see jealousy and envy, to call to you and I not to have any peace of mind and peace of heart. And the enemy wants, or Paul wants you to know how strategic the enemy is, y'all, because he says, listen, the enemy is scheming against you. Somebody say scheme.
Satan attacks you because you're God's child and he hates God's property. Satan attacks you because you're the light of the world and he's the prince of darkness. Satan attacks you because you're the truth and he's the father of lies. Satan attacks you because you're a soldier of the cross. You're anointed. You have the word of God. You have covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can take the sword of the truth of God and attack the gates of hell. You're a threat to him. You can only have one chance of survival. Put on the whole armor of God and fight back. Take the word, take the blood of the cross and the authority of Jesus' name and drive demonic goons back into the back alleys of hell, because the victory is ours through Christ the Lord. God has given you authority. Use it so that you can have victory and peace in this life.
Paul says, I'm going to give you some weapons that work. And he gives us, traditionally people say six, but really I believe there are seven pieces of armor. I want to tell you briefly what they are. He says you need to make sure that you stand firm in verse 14. Gird your loins with truth. He says then you need a breastplate called righteousness. But he doesn't stop there. He says you need something for your feet. They better be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Then he says you need a shield, and it's called faith. He says in verse 17, you need a helmet. You need something to guard your mind. You need a helmet called salvation. And you need a sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And while most people stop there, the Apostle Paul does not. He says, even though these six things are important, you need one more thing. In verse 18, he says, and pray. And so pray. If you want victory in your marriage, would you make sure you are a man or a woman of prayer? If you want victory, teenager, in your high school or student at your university, then you got to become a person of prayer. And if you say you want to live victoriously and abundantly and yet you don't pray, then I don't believe you. Because prayer is how we live in the abundance of our God.
We need to realize that there's a spiritual realm that is actually, honestly, more real and more important than this realm. It's just that we ignore it because we can't see it. But it's there. We are in a war. We are soldiers in the army of God. And Jesus is the captain of the host. He's given us his name. He's given us his word. He's given us his blood. And when I finally began to learn, when somebody began to teach me that the devil was behind most of my problems, some of them I was creating myself, but the devil was behind most of them, and that I had authority over him, God has given us weapons and he's given us armor. We need to know how to use our weapons, and we need to make sure that we are wearing our armor on a regular basis. Spiritual warfare for spiritual people. How many of you have had it with the enemy and you're ready to learn how to fight him and win the war? All right.
Do it in God's strength. Be strong in the Lord. Say that with me. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. This is God's fight. It's not yours. It's God's victory. It's not yours. It's God's glory. It's not yours. It's God's kingdom. It's not yours. It's God's strength. It's not yours. Put on the whole armor of God and fight to win, because the victory is ours through Christ the Lord. You can never exhaust God's resources. You can never exhaust God's resources, because he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. You can see his mighty power, but when he gets through, he's not exhausted. He has much more strength ready to give you from day unto day. He can defeat any giant that's before you. He can produce streams in the desert. He can produce manna that will fall from the sky. He can send cloven tongues of fire in the upper room. He can walk on the water in the Sea of Galilee and salvage you. The thing that you think is about to destroy you, he can use it for a sidewalk to save you. When you grow weary, he can make you to run like Elijah 40 miles before the chariot. When you grow faint, he can give you strength. He can send you power that you can't begin to touch. You cannot exhaust God's power. Our God is an awesome God. He is full of grace and truth. He is of the Almighty, El Shaddai, the conqueror of death, hell, and the grave. He's the conqueror of sickness and death. He's the conqueror of powers and principalities. He's the conqueror from Calvary. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Lord of glory, and he's coming soon with power and great glory. This is about the eternal souls of men and women. This is about your sons and your daughters. This is about the future of this nation. It's time for those who name the name of God to suit up and show up. This is a fight to the finish, and I intend to win it with the help of Almighty God. Put on the whole armor of God and stand beside me and take the word of the holiness of the Father. Fight the good fight of faith. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And to those of you who name the name of Christ, stop allowing Satan and his demonic goons to destroy your marriage. Put on the whole armor of God and fight back. Quit allowing him to attack your health. The Bible says by his stripes we are healed. Quit allowing him to attack your finances. The Bible says God will rebuke the devourer for your sake. He will make him give it back to you sevenfold. Stop allowing the devil to rob you of your peace, because Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. Stop allowing Satan to rob you of your joy. In his presence is the fullness of joy. Do you want it? Then fight for it. Do you want it? Then fight for it.
Put on the armor of God. So put on our armor of God. And according to our armor of God, it talks about six different armors of God. They talk about the truth. That's the armor of God. They talk about the breastplate being righteousness. The feet being peace. They talk about the shield being faith. The mind, the helmet being salvation. The word of God. Cut it with that sword, and then to pray. These are difficult times that we're living in. I don't know if you know much about, I'm not into Travis Scott, and I know he's not the only artist out there, but right now there's 10 people that have passed, and a lot of people that have been injured with the Astral World concert. And there was so much talk of, you know, how the concert went, how people paid so much money, and how a lot of people that are responsible, besides Travis and all the people, the production company, all these the security, all these different people, I think personally need to they are responsible. All these different people, these lives were lost. You don't go to a concert thinking that your life's going to be lost. All the different things that were on stage, the type of music, all these things can get into our mind, our body, and our soul. There are a lot of things that can tempt us. That's why it's very important to have the armor, to put on our armor. Everything going on with our children, with the church, with our relationships, with our children, some of the music that they listen to. Yes, people can say it's the music that does get into you, but you have to make a decision of putting your armor of God on and not doing what the music is saying, or not allowing it to dictate who you are, being a child of God. A lot of people don't believe in God, but yet we were created by something. Regardless if you believe in God or not, you still go through spiritual warfare, whether you believe it or not. And we need to know how to fight it. We need to know what it is. So we're going to begin with, what is spiritual warfare? Spiritual warfare is a Christian concept, whether you're a Christian or not, I'm just saying, of fighting against the word of pre-natural evil forces. It's based on the biblical belief in evil spirits, demons, that are said to intervene in human affairs in various ways. It can be, and what does it look like? What are some things that, when do you know you are going through it? What does it look like when it's spiritual warfare? Feelings of anger and hopelessness. It's hitting hard with our kids, with our people, that suicide. So many kids are committing suicide. With the bullying, kids are adults, you know, being nasty to each other, and people not wanting to be here, not having their armor of God on. Feelings of depression and anxiety, difficulty sleeping, feeling abandoned by God, questioning the meaning of life, suffering, questioning beliefs, or sudden doubt in spiritual or religious beliefs, asking why the situation occurred, those types of things, when you know you are going through it. Anytime, also, when you're pursuing Christ, the devil, Satan, tries to kill, steal, and destroy. The because we are his greatest creation. All of us, whether you believe in God or not, we are his greatest accomplishment. And Satan knows that. And so the battle is not ours, but he works through us. Just like God can work through us, Satan can work through us. But you know what? We have the power given by God to defeat him. Spiritual warfare attacks can look like thoughts of depression. We talked about that. Loss of family members. Heads being filled with lies, you know, doubting yourself. I can't do it. You're a child of God. Yes, you can. You believe. You work hard. You have purpose. You're here for a reason. Anything that could potentially prevent you from furthering your calling or your purpose. We all have purpose. A lot of people don't believe that, but we do. We're here for a reason. We are, there's no carbon copy of us. We are an original, and God loves us. Now, even though he loves us, when we do things, there's consequences. Just because he loves us doesn't mean that we don't have consequences. I think some people, you know, forget about that. So when we're talking about the armor of God, I want to know what some of my callers think about the armor of God and what was said in this inspirational motivation. Any caller, 8714 or 5143, what do you feel? How does this inspirational video touch you, or what thoughts did come across in your mind?
Well, it made me think of using examples. You know, a lot of times we think that we don't really know what warfare is, and we are constantly in a battle with maybe bills and sickness and little things a lot of times, but it is actually spiritual warfare, because if you don't know the Lord, you don't know how to get rid of that fear, because it's fear that's causing this, and you don't know who to depend on. So when you get a relationship with the Lord, you can't just get that relationship. You've got to study his word. He said that it's in his word, and then you have to speak these things into existence. I refuse to let you take my joy. I'm talking to my heater. My heater went out, and the central air and heating, and it went out at the coldest time of this year. And I started talking to that heater, and do you know, the man came out here. He went up and fixed it, but I was about to lose my mind because of the heater. My cat had to be spayed, and there are three or four things that I had to do right in that week, and it was all unexpected. But I had to remember, too, my father told me if I would be obedient to his word, that he would supply all my needs. You can't walk around saying that, the Lord's going to supply all my needs.
Come on now.
That's not the way that goes. If you are in good standing with him, he will keep his promises. So you got to make sure that you have accepted him as your Savior.
Yes.
And you want to learn about him. And then after you learn, you know how to pay. You got your punching bag. You got your war weapon, because he will lead you and guide you out of all that muck and mire. So anyway, and then there are other people that have examples of things that have happened to them. And if they have depended on God, then they know how they got through it.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. And sometimes he's so tricky. And, you know, you can say, okay, I'm not a person that goes wild, that does all these different things. I try to be kind to people. And I know, you know, kindness is not going to necessarily get you in heaven, but I accept the Lord as my, you know, Savior. But also we're human. We're constantly fighting flesh. As they say, you die to yourself. You know, not actually die to yourself, but to your thoughts and your fleshy way of thinking. And so it's you want to constantly have that conversation with God. You want to pray to him in the morning, in the daytime, at night. You have a regular conversation with him. You know, you want to read that Bible. We'll get more into it as we go on. But thank you for that.
That's the main thing.
Yeah.
That's the main thing, reading that word.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't understand, asking God, Lord, I don't understand this. What they have so many different things nowadays that you can help to comprehend the Bible, or Lord, what do you mean by this? And he may give it to you right then and there. He may give it to you later. He might show you. You might say, oh, nah, I know. So it just depends.
If you don't know, Stephanie, then you can get your dictionary, you can get your concordance, and the Bible, he tells you, say, study to show yourself approved, so you won't be made shame, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it isn't a matter of just reading it. If you don't understand it, find it. They got so much on the phones nowadays. All you got to do is
they
ask.
Do. They do. And sometimes you might have to read through quite a few times. You know how you even watch a movie? Go through it one time, then go through it a second time, have your notes, have your supplement, and you'll find things that, oh, wait a minute, I didn't pick that up last time. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And when he said the whole armor, he didn't mean part of it.
Yes,
he said,
he knows what he means.
Put on the whole armor of God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm not going to try to take over your show, but you could tell us about what the parts of those armors are if you want to.
Oh, yeah, I did already at the beginning.
Yeah, you did.
I talked about what the armor
people
is.
Have to, yeah,
no,
sometimes
again?
You have
okay.
to.
Say
it over
okay.
again, because there are some people that have just come in, you know.
Okay, well, maybe the armor.
They don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm talking about spirituality. The haters will hate. We just listened to a clip on Put on the Armor of God. And so we talked about, you know, six of the armors, six of when you put your armor on. There's six that we discussed, that they discussed in the video. There's the armor of truth. There's the breastplate of righteousness. For your feet, there's peace, the shield of faith. For your mind, the helmet of, I can't even think of it right now, salvation, the sword of the word of God, and then to pray. And so we're going to talk more about different things when it comes to spirituality. So we talked about, not spirituality, spiritual warfare. We talked about what spiritual warfare is. And we talked about what does it look like? When do you know you're going through it? It can be anxiety, hopelessness, a lot of what's going on now, sometimes through music, sometimes through just jealousy, anxious, anything that's not of God can be, you know, can be the devil attacking you. Okay? So we're going to go ahead and we'll be right back with a word from our sponsors. And then we'll hear a song from Taryn Wells. It's called God's Not Done With You.
Why is it so important to shop at doitallinthemall.com? Well, think of it this way. Every time you're buying yourself something, you will be helping to improve somebody's community, life, and their journey. So join us now by shopping doitallinthemall.com. We can make a difference, but we can't do it without you. Shop today at www.doitallinthemall.com.
Standing in your ruins feels a lot like the end. So used to losing, you're afraid to try again. Right now all you see are ashes. ashes where there was a flame. Truth is that you're not forgotten, 'cause grace knows your name.
God's not done with you.
Even with your broken heart and your wounds and your scars, and it's hard and you're falling apart,
God's not done with you.
It's not over, it's only begun. So don't hide, don't run, 'cause God's not done with you. You. There's a light you don't notice until you're standing in the dark. And there's a strength that's growing inside your shattered heart.
God's not done with you.
Even with your broken heart and your wounds and your scars,
God's not done with you.
Even when you're lost and it's hard and you're falling apart,
God's not done with you.
It's not over, it's only begun. So don't hide, don't run, 'cause God's not done with you. He's got a plan, it's just part of it. He's gonna finish what he started. He's got a plan, it's just part of it. He's gonna finish what he started. He's not done. God's not done writing your story. No, he's not done. God's not done with you. God's not done with you.
So we just listened to the song by Karen Wells, God's Not Done With You. We're now going to listen to some words from an inspirational motivation. From this inspirational motivational. It's called Don't Quit. Trust God when times are hard.
We all feel like giving up sometimes. We all go through times where we feel like God is 1 million miles away. But we don't have any idea what he's doing. When we're tired, when we're weary, when we think we just can't go on.
Living through a season of struggle that doesn't seem like it's ever going to end. Walking through a trial that you have to endure, and it causes you to wonder if you can take the next small step of faith. When this year started, you thought it was going to be a great year of provision, but the provision didn't come. When this year began, you didn't think it would be a season of sickness, and now all you're doing is praying for healing. When this year started, you were filled with hope and enthusiasm, but all you've known is torment and anguish. It has been a long year. It's a year where you've struggled in your business. It's a year where maybe you've struggled in your home or your marriage. It's a year in which the things that you thought you would never see happen, not only did they happen, but they keep happening over and over and over again. First, you cannot give up. When you enter into your long season, you've got to give it all you've got. When people go into a season of struggle, the first thing that they want to do is take a sabbatical. But whenever trouble comes, the only way that you can get through trouble is work your way through it. Don't quit. How did Joseph survive in what others drowned in? Effort. Effort comes before excellence. When Joseph was on his knees scrubbing Potiphar's floors, God was standing over him and he says, I know this doesn't look like much, Joseph, but I promise you, you're closer to the breakthrough than you've ever been before. As a child of God, be a person of excellence. Too many people walk through the long years and they do not survive them. Why? Because rather than give it all they've got, they give up. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. He said, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all of your might. Why? As unto the Lord and not unto men. God is watching. God is the one who will reward you. When that time comes, let your life be lived in such a way that what you get to hear is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Don't give up. When you're walking through the long years, not only do you not give up, but you can't give in. It's going to be in the hardest seasons of your life that the greatest temptations are going to come. Not just the temptation to quit, but the temptation to walk away from your faith, the temptation to do what you thought you'd never do. There's two things that you can do with trouble. You can let trouble make you better, or you can let trouble make you bitter.
Yeah.
And that's your choice.
You know, we all suffer, don't we? We go through things. You know, the first thing we want to do when we're suffering is we want to run. We want to get away from it some way, shape, or form. But you know what? You got to go through the hard part to get to the good part. You got to go through the hard part to get to the good part. And that doesn't mean the hard part's always fair. Life is not always fair, but God is fair. God is a God of justice, and that's one of my favorite things about the character of God. And justice means that he always makes wrong things right. God always makes wrong things right if we trust him and if we handle the wrong thing in the right way. And so when you're going through hard things, you got two choices. You can give in and give up, or you can get strong. Amen? And I believe that we can do anything that God gives us to do, but the one thing we cannot do is give up when it gets hard. I don't know what you might be going through today, but I want you to know that God knows what you're going through today. And he knows every little bit of pain that you've got. He knows every tear that you've cried. And I know you've asked him many times, why did my loved one die? Why did I lose my job? Why did I lose my retirement? Why did my house burn down? Why was my house destroyed? Why? You know what? Trade all those whys for God, I trust you. God, I trust you. I don't know why, but I love you enough that I don't have to know why. I'll tell you what, I believe that God is good. And I don't care what the devil tries. I don't care what the world does. I don't care what wicked, evil people do. My God is a good God. And I believe that anybody who doesn't believe in him is making a serious mistake in their life.
Amen.
You can't just believe God when you're on the mountaintop. You got to know how to make it through the valleys and stay victorious in your life.
People want to know, why do we have to endure this? People ask God, what's your plan? Why these seasons of struggle? In this world, you will have tribulation. You can't deny that. Why? Because the source of truth said that. Job said, as surely as sparks fly upward, men are born to trouble. Everyone that God used, everyone that God had a plan for, everyone who did something great for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, they went through a struggle. They all graduated from the same university of adversity. And God has a seat saved for you. But what was it about their mindset that would allow them to look at a season of struggle and say, think it not strange? Or they would look at a season of struggle and then they would shout with joy. This was not some made-up outcome that they were striving for. It was something that they truly enjoyed. Why? Because they recognized that whenever they were in a season of struggle, God was growing them. Whenever they were in a season of struggle, God was preparing them. Whenever they were in a season of struggle, He was getting ready to open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings upon them. They didn't know how big the blessing would be. They didn't know how the outpouring would come. They didn't know all of the details, but they knew that God's hand was upon them, and that He was taking them somewhere that was greater than what they could ask, think, or imagine. So when the problem came, they just started praising God and saying, "Thank you, Jesus, you've still got a plan for me." When the struggle came, they said, "You know, I'm going to be stronger when this is over. I'm going to be able to endure more. I'm going to be able to do more. I'm going to be able to receive more. I'm going to be able to accomplish more." And I assure you, child of God, if He did that for them, He's doing it for you.
Hallelujah.
Half of the scriptures about suffering, half of them, which this is really good news, are all about God delivering us from suffering. However, not one of those says when.
Be patient. Everyone has to wait. Everyone has to endure. But here's what God says will happen for you when you do wait. In Isaiah, He said, "They that wait upon the Lord, those who are patient, He will renew their strength. They'll mount up like wings of eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint." Because when you have patience to wait upon the Lord, you begin to recognize that His promises are what gives you strength. It's not the outcome that gives you strength. It's the promise that gives you strength.
But you're going to have to go through things. I don't care whether you start a business, whether you're raising a child, you want to get married, you want to have a good marriage, you want to get your home paid off, you want to be in ministry, whatever it is, you're going to get some opposition from Satan. "A wide door of opportunity opened unto me," Paul said, "and with it many adversaries."
And the reason that you have tribulation is because everything that God gives you, the enemy wants to take it from you. It's a principle. God gives you peace, He wants to give you worry. God gives you health, He wants to give you sickness. God gives you more than enough, He wants to take your more than enough so that you have insufficiency. Why? Because He wants you to doubt every promise that God ever made. Everything that God has given you in your life, you have to realize there is an enemy who is very real and he wants to take it.
Jesus said, "In the world, guess what? You will have tribulation. Cheer up. I have overcome the world." You know what? We've already read the end of the book. We know what's going to happen.
Be of good cheer, because the battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. Be of good cheer, because the enemy that you're facing, even though he's trying to cause you to doubt, even though he's trying to create worry, even though he's trying to build up your concerns, be of good cheer, because I've already made a public spectacle of him at a place called Calvary. I have already humiliated him. All you have to do is remind him of my name. All you have to do is remind him of the power of my blood. All you have to do is remind him that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And be of good cheer, child of God. The battle is the Lord's, and the victory is yours through the power of His mighty name.
We have the privilege of trusting God. No matter what we're going through, we have the privilege of trusting God. All things work together for good. Not all things are good, but all things work together for good to those who love God and who trust Him. Put your trust in God. Don't ever blame God for the wickedness and the evil in the world. And try not to live your life saying, "Why, God, why?" Replace a lot of that with, "God, I trust you. I know you're good, and I know this is going to work out right."
Wake up and recognize that if you've been through some stuff, God was with you while you were walking through it, and He's with you now. He's still on the throne. He still has a plan for you. He's still working it out in your life. He is not going to leave you. He is not going to forsake you. He has the way through the wilderness, and if you'll look to Him, He'll lead you and guide you and give you a blessing that you cannot contain.
I'm pleading with you today. Whatever God is trying to do in your life right now, even if you don't understand it, don't run away from it. Trust God. Let Him do what He wants to do in you so you can have the life that He really wants you to have.
Yes. Yes. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might.
Yes. Yes. I like what they said. He said, we definitely listen to don't quit, trust God when times are hard. I like in the motivational video, they said, handling the wrong things in the right way. You trust Him and handle it in the right way. I love that. We have to thank Him in advance. There's a song that we listened to before, thank Him in advance as you're going through all the deaths that are going on with, you know, the COVID and Delta. And I've had like 3 or 4 deaths, I think 4, between family members and friends, deaths. I mean, we've heard of different children and other people out in the world dying that we don't know personally. And it's hard. It's difficult. It's a time of depression. And, yes, we don't understand it, but we have to trust God. This is not the only place. Yeah, this is Earth, but there's another place.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to meet our people again. But we definitely want to, look to God. We want to, the knowledge that Jesus died on the cross. Those things are important. And not be people of the, yes, we're in the world, but we don't have to do as the world does, as society does. A lot of times I say to people, we don't want to follow what society does. Society is lost, generally speaking, not individually, but group-wise. Lack of morals and values. Anything goes. That's not how you want to live your life. Who says living a life of God's way is boring? You feel love and peace. Yes, you're going to go through. Yes, you're human, so sometimes you're going to be down. But you know you're not walking through the valley of, you're not walking. So there's one question that as we're listening, talking about the video, we're also going to answer a few questions as well. One of the questions was, how does it show up? We talked a bit about what spiritual warfare was, what it looks like. So we're talking about how does it show up even more so. There's 10 signs of spiritual attack from Evergreen Valley Church. And before we go into that, because be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Peter 5:8. And that's true. He's let loose. He's gone crazy. In my 47 years of life, I have never seen anything that I've seen lately. Within these past few years, past 2 or 3 years. It's insane, all the stuff that's going on. There's times I've had to cry at night and cry out to God. There's times, I'm just going to tell you, besides the devil attacking us just with life, different things in life, I'm a person very sensitive to smells, very sensitive to feelings, all these different things. There's times that he attacks me, like through normal life like everybody else, but also through dreams, times where I'm having a dream, and when I'm dreaming, I'm not sure if it's real or if it's not, and something's covering my mouth, trying to choke me, and I'm trying to say God, I'm trying to say Jesus, and as I'm saying it, if I can't say it, I'm thinking it, and it stops. I promise you, it stops, because to say respects the fact with God, he has respect the fact, because God is the creator.
The name of Jesus.
And I've had to sleep with my, yes, Jesus. I've had to pray. I've had my Bible open in the bed. I've had spiritual music listening, going on within the night. So sometimes he attacks. It's like, but this last time, I've had dreams since I was like 19. Not every night, but I've had them so often. But the last couple of weeks, I've had a couple of days, I've had some dreams. This last one that I had, it was very interesting. I was able to look whatever in the face, this darkness in the face, and say, God, say Jesus. If I couldn't say it, I could think it, and it stopped. And so to me, I was a little scared because I'm human, but yet it came to me that God's saying, you know what, you're stronger in my faith. You're becoming stronger. I'm giving you the strength. You come to me, I'm giving you the strength to fight Satan. Now, some people might not believe it, but in their life, their thoughts and angry and depressed and not understanding why. It's a spiritual warfare out here.
Yes, it is.
So there's eight things it talks about. The spiritual warfare is more common than you think. We tend to think demonic oppression as wild and crazy things happening in our life. Movies do not always take biblical approach to spiritual attacks, but actually the reality of spiritual warfare in our lives is a daily experience. So feeling discouraged, defeated, and depressed, leading to hopelessness, overwhelming, and burdensome. We talked about that briefly. When you struggle with your lack of peace and feeling stressed and you feel like giving up, the loss of spiritual desire, you have difficulty praying, staying connected with other Christians, maintaining your ministry of work with God. Those times you pray at all times, little anything, big. You know, Lord, I'm having a hard time. I don't know what to do. I've had many conversations with them. I had to go counsel someone today, a teacher. I'm not going to go into what I had to counsel them about. They're going through something. As I'm talking to her and listening to her, I'm listening to her, but I'm praying to the Lord. Lord, how can I best help her? You know, how can I? And when I did speak, she said, you know what, thank you for that. But you know what? It wasn't for me. It came out of my mouth. But that wasn't for me.
Yeah.
He worked through me to say what I need to say to touch her spirit. Because I was like, you know what to say to her, Lord. What is it that I need to tell her? What is it that you want her to know? Can you speak up? Is this Andre? Can you speak up?
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead. I can hear you now.
Okay, one of the things that we have to keep in mind when we're talking about religious situations, the one thing that we have to keep in mind is that if we don't study, pray, and apply what we know, it is all pointless.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that we have to keep in mind is that we can't have a double mind and we read and what we know, but then we are scared to share it with someone. The Bible itself said that our Lord in Christ, Yeshua, was hated by his own people because he stood up for something. In our society today, we are afraid to stand up for what we know is right. We allow these prosperity preachers to say things that are part truths and part lies. And because we don't know the difference, we haven't read the Bible that we carry around so much, we have no idea what is real and what is not. Now, let me give you a good example of it and tell me what part of the statement is true. God loves everybody, and God is love, and one is not. Do you have any idea which one is true?
God is love.
God is love is the one that's true. So God loves everybody. Who came up with that idea? Man. And that's our problem. God told us that's not in the Bible. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that because it's a contradiction to what God actually did in the Bible. So that statement cannot be true. God told us to beware of man's traditions. The question then comes up, what is man's traditions that we know of? Can you say man created holidays? All these holidays that man makes money off of, none of it is scriptural. You will not find anywhere in the Bible that our Lord in Christ Yeshua spent any day celebrating Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, anything of that nature. And I tell people all the time when I speak to them, you have to use your brain and use simple logic. What does Easter bunny and egg have to do with the resurrection of Christ? And bunnies don't even lay eggs. And again, we accept it because, it sounds cute. But now, Easter itself in the Bible is listed one time, and if you read where it is in the Bible, in the New Testament, it talks about the Romans trying to kill Peter and the 12 tribes. So what exactly is Easter representing that is not in the Bible what it should be? According to the Bible, it's Passover. But the world has called it Easter. We have accepted it, and we have rolled on. But no one's ever asked, what is Passover? If you read in the Bible, it tells you that Passover, what it is, and that that's what we should be calling it today. But because there's no money in Passover coming from the Israelites in the Bible, We got to give a name we can make some money off of. We call it Easter. We call it Christmas. We call it Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving itself, if you look it up, and please do this on your own, this is why our kids are so confused, and generation after generation have been confused, because we have been lying to them to be part of a big group. I'm sorry to tell you, and some people may disagree, but church today in 2021 is nothing but a big club that you pay dues 52 weeks out of the year to be a part of. It has nothing to do with God. God is the product they use to get you in. God is the line that they use to get the money from you. But if we actually believe what the Bible says versus what man says concerning education to our people, we would know that God created this world in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. And I do not remember reading anywhere in Genesis where it said he used a credit card, check, or student loan. You're getting to the church is asking for your money. They say that God said to do it. They say that God said to do it. He didn't say it. Can't show it to me in the Bible anywhere. God told me to tell you. No, he didn't. He didn't tell his own son. Why is he telling you? God didn't use the money in the beginning. Why all of a sudden now he need money? See, our failure of educating ourselves and those in front of us is the reason that we don't understand what God says. Don't grab a few scriptures and say a few lines and say a little snippet. Understand what you're reading. Go back and use what the Bible says, precept upon precept, and educate yourself. Know what you're talking about. And don't be afraid to say what the truth is, because the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, prove all things. So for anybody, person or pastor, tell you anything, he shouldn't be offended, or they shouldn't be offended if you say, can you show me in the Bible where you got that from, where you're reading from? Because if they do, and tell you things like, when you ask questions, oh, don't worry about that, keep your eyes on Jesus. Again, this is not your friend. This is what the Bible said, false prophets. Got to be careful of those people. But like I said, and I won't take too much of your time, but educating yourself, applying what you read, telling your children the truth about what the Bible says and not what man said to tell them or to make them feel comfortable, you tell them something that's not true because you want to be comfortable with everybody else. This is why the Bible says two-thirds of this planet, people that believe in God, because only 50% of them do, and only 9% read their Bible, that means 41% carry it around and have no idea until their pastor tell them something what's in it. This is why this is why two-thirds won't go, because if you don't know, how would he recognize you? How are you going to know who he is? Someone's telling you different things. So study,
brother, I understand what you're saying, but the whole purpose of our being on this radio right now is to
educate,
encourage people to accept Christ as their Savior.
Educate and teach.
And if they study about him, but the point of it is, if they study, then they will be able to rightly divide the truth. So to confuse people that may be coming with just open arms to him, there is no need to say all of that, thinking that you are helping the cause, because I believe in Jesus.
I'm not going to tell them a lie. Watch them a lie.
You need.
We need to make sure that we hear one person at. We need to make sure we hear one person at a time. You know, that's why
I would suggest that you get your own audience, and that way your own audience would be able to. They'll listen to you, and they'll follow you. But when you come on a religious program, you don't
say religious
try to kill what we're trying to.
What have I killed, man? Have I killed? Please tell me that. What have I told you it was a lie? What have I told you it was a lie? Tell me that. What have I told you it was not true? I can't prove in the Bible. What did I have told you?
Listen, I don't know, because you read it twice. And, you know, I read some things in there twice. But the thing of it is, I have grown to love the Lord.
That's not
anything that he says
That's not my question. I asked you to tell me what did I say that was incorrect according to the Bible and God's word.
I don't know anything about some of that stuff that you said. And I don't.
I'm telling you what's in the Bible where it
I
is.
I don't. Listen. I know
let's
that
get our
Jesus
final
was born in
June
and July.
Minutes because we're going to let people. As the thing is, we do have free will. We have free will. People can believe what they choose to believe. We can give them, you know, information out here. It's very important that they, well, it's very important for them to read the Bible and for them to or get information, educate themselves if they choose to read the Bible. We
one,
have freedom of choice.
One quick thing. We have to understand something. What we feel and believe, if it doesn't line up with the word, it's not true. We can believe and feel a lot of things. But if it doesn't align with God's word, it's not biblical or true. Period. End of story. I feel a lot of things, but if it's not in that Bible,
some people,
it's not true.
Some people, some ministers pick certain scriptures that they preach on, so they don't get to some of the others. And that's the same thing that you're doing. You're trying to pick
the Bible apart. So miseducation is a problem?
Say what?
So they need to educate themselves before they start talking about something so
Do
they know
I
what they're talking
that
about.
Do I think education is a problem? No.
Can we agree on one thing? Can we agree on one thing that we do have a love for God? Can we agree on that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not a problem. We good on that.
Okay.
But
so the thing
is
the main thing is for people to get educated. Whether you go whatever church you go to. That you get educated, that you read the Bible for yourself, you pray to God, you ask for discernment, you ask and talk to him about what the meaning is, because we can have different people that have different thoughts and feelings. So you can listen to us, but go get your own understanding and know that God is love. Okay?
And everything that I mentioned to you is fact in the Bible. It's not my opinion.
It's a fact that a lot of these things are in the Bible, but it is not factual that they are true.
By whose hand? Who wrote the Bible? Did I? No.
When?
Did you? No. If we believe in God, we didn't have to believe in his word. Period.
Okay, we're going to have to go. It says we'll be right back with a word from our sponsors. Okay, we're going to hear a song, CC1 with Mercy Said No. And we'll be right back.
You can find Let's Do It Radio on the homepage of Do It All in the Mall. Come join us and listen to Let's Do It Radio as you're shopping the first online mall with over 5,000 stores for all your holiday shopping needs. Yes, Do It All in the Mall has its own radio station, and you can listen to us as you shop. So shop with us, listen to us, and talk with us at doitallinthemall.com.
Darkness tried to steal my heart away. As evil tried to stop redemption, so mercy said no.
By C.C. Wani, Mercy Said No. Now we're going to listen to the words from A Spiritual Warfare, The Fight of Your Life, and then we'll continue with our talk.
Listen to this and write it down if you can't remember it. You're never going to outgrow warfare. You simply must learn to fight. I hear people saying to me all the time, oh, when is it going to get easier? When you die. Warfare is a normal New Testament Christian posture. Get used to it.
You got to be willing not to accept no for an answer. You got to have an attitude that God has an assignment and a destiny and a goal and a call upon your life, and you can't let nothing people say about you. No, you got to have an aggressive mindset. I got to have an aggressive mindset. I've got to have an aggressive mind. I got to have a mindset to say nobody, nothing's going to stop me. I got a charge to keep and a God to glorify. I got to press toward the mark of the high called in Christ Jesus. I gotta push on and don't let anybody or anything slow me down. They talk about me, they criticize me, they find fault with me, they don't like me. It's okay. Make up in your mind to be aggressive. B-E-A-G-G-R-E-S-E-V-E. Whatever. Be aggressive. I gotta be aggressive. I got a mindset. You can't stop me. You won't hold me down. You won't deter me. My mind is made up. All the hell I've been through, all the work I done done, all the prayers I prayed. You think your little mouth gonna stop me from pursuing what it is that the Lord has given me? Oh, no. I don't know where I'm preaching to today, but we are leaving 2017 and going in 2018 with a mind that I'm going to get and do what it is that God has for me to do. I got to be aggressive. I got a mindset. You can't stop me. You won't hold me down. You won't deter me.
Fight back. You're a child of God. The royal blood of heaven is flowing in your veins. God does not sponsor flops, and he does not manufacture junk. You are a child of the Most High God. You're going to stand in the winner's circle. You're not going to be the victim. You're going to be the victor, because Christ is Lord over your situation. Only believe. All things are possible for you. Hear this, an almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful God is sitting in heaven waiting to hear from you. David says that he has his hand cupped behind his ear, listening for his children to ask him for great and mighty things that we know not. He's listening for us to pull down the strongholds of addictions that enslave our families, to pull down the strongholds of abortion and pornography, to pull down the demonic forces that are destroying the government of the United States. So what does he hear from our lips? Oh God, watch over the parakeet and water the grass. Let me tell you something. When you walk through these doors and you lift your hands to pray, I want you to remember that you are talking to Almighty, All-Knowing, All-Powerful God, the Creator of heaven and earth. The blast of His nostrils can split the cedars of Lebanon. He holds the seven seas in the palms of His hand. He weighs the mountains in a scale and the hills in the balance. You can ask Him for things so staggering, so big, that God slides out of His chair and sits on the edge and says to the angels, did you hear what he said? Asking for things that are impossible, because with God nothing is impossible. Ask him to defeat the giants in your life, because our God is a giant killer. Ask him to divide the sea before you and to bury Pharaoh and watch him turn your enemies into fish food. Ask him to send fire from heaven as he did for Elijah, and he will. Ask him to walk with you in the fire of the fiery furnace and be the fourth man in the fire, and he will. He said you will walk through the fire and the fire will not burn you. He will walk through the water and the water will not drown you. Ask him. He's the God who cannot fail. He's waiting to show you great and mighty things. Ask him. Pray. God in heaven wants you to have that power. You are made in the image of God. God is not a statue. He speaks. He thinks. He talks. He feels our infirmities. He answers our prayer. He's alive. He's Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there. He's Jehovah Nissi, the Lord who is our banner. He's Jehovah Shalom, the God our peace. Pray. God is in heaven saying, what do you need? Do you need healing? Ask in faith, believing, and I will give it. Do you need supernatural wisdom to make a tough decision? Ask of me, and I will lead you in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Do you need peace that surpasses understanding? Ask, for nothing is impossible to those that believe. No good thing will he withhold from those that diligently seeking. Do you need the impossible? Then open your mouth. Open your mouth in faith, believing. You're not talking to the President of the United States. You're not talking to Bill Gates. Both of them together can't control their next breath. You're talking to the Creator of heaven and earth. He holds the cattle on a thousand hills. He uses gold for asphalt on the streets of heaven. He moves mountains. He divides seas. He'll give you wells you didn't dig, vineyards you didn't plant, houses you didn't build. He will make you the head and not the tail, because nothing is impossible to you. Next prayer. Prayer is the weapon that God has given his children to wage war in the heavenlies. Church of Jesus Christ, stop whining about the attacks on your life by the prince of darkness and put on the whole armor of God in Ephesians 6. Attack, attack, and then attack again, and then attack again, and crush him and drive him out of your life. If it seems to be hopeless, pray, 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 because God answers prayer. Moses prayed and the sun was arrested in its courses by the hand of God as Joshua crushed the enemies of Israel. Elijah prayed and forked tongues of fire laced across the heavens and consumed the sacrifice soaked with 12 barrels of water. Hezekiah prayed, and I'm talking about Old Testament prayer right now. Hezekiah prayed and 185,000 Assyrians that surrounded Jerusalem, promising to slaughter every Jew in the sacred city the next morning. Hezekiah rolled out the letter that General Sennacherib had sent to him, mocking his God and mocking the people of Israel. He pulled out his secret weapon, prayer. He laid that letter before the Lord and said, God, your honor is at stake. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Your word says, he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleep. And that night, the death angel from heaven came and swept through the camp of the Assyrians. He smote the sentry standing at his post. He smote the infantry slumbering in their tents. He smote the generals as they made their battle plan to destroy the sacred city. The next morning when Hezekiah looked over the sacred walls of the city of Jerusalem by the dawn's early light, he saw 185,000 dead men because the angel of God passed by that night. Why? Because one man knew how to pray. He stopped an army and turned the destiny of a nation around, and you can too. Because Satan is a defeated foe. Christ has given you the keys of death, hell, and the grave. You are a child of God, and the royal blood of heaven is flowing in your veins. You are destined to be more than a conqueror through Christ. Think like it, act like it, and talk like it every day of your life. And believe that God can do the impossible. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. If you want power with God, learn to pray. If you don't know how to pray, you will never be successful. I have preached the gospel of Jesus Christ for 44 years. I have preached in football stadiums packed with 75 to 80,000 people. I have preached in the beautiful cathedrals of Rome. I have preached in the mud huts of third world nations. I have preached to millions of people around the world by radio and television. Why did it happen? It happened because my mother went to war with the devil for my soul in her prayer room, and the devil lost. She prayed me out of the fires of hell and into the gates of heaven. Prayer works. Try it.
Okay, so we just listened to Spiritual Warfare, the Fight of Your Life, and we're going to go ahead and we're going to continue on, and I want to hear from speaker listener 0380, and I want to know what you think about the fight of your life. What was your take on this video? Speaker 0380, are you on?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I might need to be unmuted. Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
Good evening.
Yeah,
I'm Ron Marshall. I'm Ron Marshall from Little Rock, Arkansas. What I got out of it is my inward person, the non-physical man, is the image of God. And God wants his creation to recognize the power of him creating them in his image.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we notice and we put our focus on the non-physical, our souls, and the image of God he created us, then we operate with another form of logic. it becomes not intellect, academic, but it becomes spirit and power. Spirit and power. Then we relate to the scripture where the Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians, that all things is ours because we are the image of God. Now, God making us in his image and put us here on the earth to be an example with discipline and a nature that's not academic or falling. So the challenge of my life is to stay in the way of the image of God, whereas in my environmental upbringing, I've learned some things that are what they call, what's the word for it? I've learned some things that were not so good for me, but it was in my environmental upbringing, and it was constituted in that. So I learned those things by participation and experiences. But God, in his wise providence, through the sacrificial blood of Christ, changed my concept through the word of God, brought me into the understanding of how powerful it is to live the divine nature in God's image adverse the academic or the agnostic viewpoint of the world that separates us from God. Well, some people say, well, my struggle is money. My struggle is things. My struggle is mundanism. Well, yeah, that is so. If your focus, if your mindset is on mundane things and to achieve and to accomplish and be great in an academic world, well, your struggle is all of that. But if your nature is a divine nature because of the image of God he made you in, then your practice become attributes of the spirit and not of... So my struggle is staying on point as in the image of God adverse to mere man with intellect and logic.
Yes, we're constantly dying to ourselves. As we're talking about going through the struggles, I didn't get a chance to finish some of the 10 signs of spiritual attack. We talked about feeling discouraged, defeated, depressed, fatigue, loss of spiritual desire, doubting God's goodness, thinking that we're going to let him down, negative, disturbing thoughts. The enemy attacks our mind, and our mind is a battlefield. Worrisome, anxious, being fearful. Thinking about going back to our old lifestyle, old emotional wounds from the past resurfacing if we haven't dealt with those, battling with feeling guilt, condemnation, and shame, feelings of rejection, loneliness, confusion over what you believe. If you're under spiritual attack, don't give up. You know, we're in a fight for our lives, like the video says. Attacks will come, I guess, in the video. They're going to keep coming. But know God is fighting for you. You're not fighting alone. Do not give into what the enemy shows you or tells you. He's a master of illusion and magnification. If your life seems out of control, just hold on, and help is on the way. And there's even a song about that. Through Jesus Christ, we have the power and authority to bind the enemy. Remember that church, we're there, and it's like a big hospital. People are at different levels. And let's be honest, we have some churches that are based on Christ or based on God, and you have other churches that are based on money. And let's just put out that there's good and bad everywhere. Some people have been called to give God's word, others have not been. Choose one that's best for you. Pray, seek your word, seek the Lord, and go to where it's best for you. Yeah, there's talk of, yes, you want to give the 10%. Yes, there's talk of, oh, this church is not doing this with this church. That's not your problem, your thought process. You're giving to God with your heart. If they're doing something wrong with it, that's on them. If that particular church is not doing what you think, go to a different one. Find one that is fitting of you.
Amen. Well, you know, everybody looks upon perfection as the practical way of men and women, right? But perfection is not the practical way of mere men and women. But perfection is manners and discipline, not to offend with your words and your tongue. Remember the Apostle Paul said, show me a man or a woman that won't offend with his tongue, and I'll show you a perfect person. If you can hold back offenses, then all you're going to do is give out love and kindness. As Jesus said, love and kindness have I drawn thee. No, the divine nature, love 24 hours a day, peace 24 hours a day, joy 24 hours a day, long-suffering 24 hours a day, tolerance 24 hours, that's the divine nature. But the Adamic fallen nature of humans that came by way of Adam and Eve, you're going to have bickering, you're going to have disputing, you're going to have arguing, envy. The Bible says every evil work. So the nature has to be divided. And that's what they talk about when they say, I came into Jesus. Well, I heard the conversation a few minutes ago, and, you know, the brother was speaking about Easter and so forth and so forth. It may have been a pagan holiday, but look what happens all around the world. All around the world in this pagan holiday, what the devil meant for evil, God will get the good out of it, right? So this pagan holiday, all around the world, people are lifting up Jesus' name. So God still got the, he still get the glory out of the pagan holiday. Yeah, they make a lot of money. Yeah, people go out and buy nice things and for themselves and for their children and so on and as such. And some people be thinking that they are dressing according to the divine nature of the kingdom because they dress up on the day of the resurrection of Christ, right? Mm-hmm. But for the most part, even though whatever day that the devil meant for evil, God get the good out of it because people get saved on that pagan holiday. I have been to church on Easter. Folk have come, gave their life to Christ. People that didn't come to church but once a year heard the word of God on this pagan holiday and decided to make Christ the Lord and Savior. So what the devil meant for evil with the holidays and philosophy and all that kind of stuff, God still got a way of getting the good out of everything. Why? Because he said in Romans 8:28, he said, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called unto his purpose. His purpose is for humanity to understand that he made them in his image. So there's hidden wisdom, hidden knowledge that Aristotle and Socrates and Plato and all of those analysts of the old ancient science world could not even fathom. They were thinking that you had to marginalize to some pinnacle before you could be something in the world. Well, that's not true because we were made in God's image.
So I got a question for you, sir.
Go ahead.
Can I ask you a question? Okay.
Sure.
The way you just said it, it implied that even though the Bible says not to celebrate Christmas, Christmas should be celebrating Christmas. You saying it's okay that God's going to fix it. He just told you what to not to do, not to do. He didn't say do it.
Okay, go ahead, brother.
When he tells you not to do things, why are we trying to go around it? Man created holidays, not God. Why are we celebrating them again? Tell me why we're celebrating again if God said not to celebrate them.
Well, you know
God
what?
God said not to celebrate.
Now, if you're totally in the divine nature, then
no,
every day.
I asked a question, sir.
I'm answering it.
Are we following
I'm
God or man? Are we following God or man?
We are made in God's image.
But
God in
the question is simple. The question is simple. Are we following God's rules and words or man's words?
We're following God, and we're following the word of God.
Say that.
Well, then, but now, history be changed when people know better. People do better.
No. God's word in Revelation not to do that. You know what he said in Revelation, people, don't change his word to add to it.
No, don't change, but I'm just saying to you, you are right about that. But I'm saying to you is people grow out of traditions and customs as they learn the word of God. You had to come out of it, but you had to look at things from a spiritual standpoint of view to decide, no, these holidays are not right. You had to read the word, where the Bible says your holidays and your new moons and all of it. You had to read the word to come into this understanding, right?
But here's
is that right?
That's correct.
Is that right?
Here's the question, though. Here's the question. I agree with you. Here's the question. We have a platform such as this. It is our job, as the Bible says, to go out and teach the world God's word. We didn't say adjust it, make it comfortable for other people. We're here to tell the word. So if I tell you God said something and can show it to you where it is, why are we fighting at me and not telling God what's wrong? I didn't write the Bible. He did.
No.
But this
is
not a problem. If you got a problem with facts, then talk to God, not me.
But what I'm saying is, what you're saying is not wrong. What I'm saying is not wrong. We're upholding the truth of God, and both of us agree with that. But I'm saying everybody has not reached our level of maturity in their walk with God. Some people are babies. Some people are babies. And then some people haven't got in depth in the word of the Lord. Maybe like you have, maybe like I have, maybe like Sharon have, maybe like the sister have, and others that are listening to us around the world. Some people are just coming into God, so therefore they're not going to automatically know that some things they've been practicing all of their lives. So they have to be taught. And the Bible says, how can they hear about somebody they don't know nothing about?
We have their attention, though. We have their attention. We must tell them the truth, not something that appeases them, not makes them feel comfortable. Tell them the truth.
Well, now
that's why we have so many different churches, because
we have different churches because people don't want to believe in God.
Again, we can't expect. We can't expect maturity out of babes. We can't expect people.
If they're not telling the truth, then what are they telling you? If the church is not telling you the truth, what are they telling you?
If the world is not telling you the truth, what they're telling you?
No, if the church, if the pastors in the church are not telling you the true word of God,
brother,
what are they telling you?
Brother, if the professor in the agnostic university is not telling you the truth, what is he telling you?
That's what they're telling you. The answer to that question is
lies. Okay, so if the preacher who don't tell the truth of the scripture, he's no more than the professor that tells a lie.
But
the people that love God and have devoted their lives to God and have made their practical way
should not be lied to.
But again, maturity levels, even in teachers and leaders and bishops, these people are still maturing. Has nobody really come to the full revelation of God yet? Because
I agree with you, but here's the problem I have. Whether they know or don't know, we should not be sitting here appeasing them and giving them some comfortable words and taking their money and sending them out the door. We should be educating them, helping them understand it, giving them the reason why they should look in the Bible, why they should get into it. Why do you think churches have 95% of women and very few men? Why do you think that is? Statistics say it.
You know why?
Go ahead, tell me.
Because some men have not developed or came to the point of surrendering to God. Some men think, kind of like what you're saying, the churches ain't real, the preachers ain't real, and all they want is money and all. But if you look at it,
show me one that don't. Tell me one that don't.
But wait a minute. But those, you got to look at this too. The world don't want nothing but money.
No, tell me what church don't ask for money and tell you the lie that Malachi 3:8 said God give money when it doesn't say that. Nowhere in the Bible does it say any old or new scripture. as I say, give money to any church, nowhere.
Well, you haven't been reading the scripture.
No.
But let's stay with the topic now. Let's stay with the topic. What you're saying, I'm not saying you're wrong, brother. But I'm also saying that the scripture verifies. You're talking about the truth of the scripture. The Bible do tell us in the book of Malachi about tithes and offerings.
And
if you read Malachi,
in the Bible, Old and New, Old and New Testament is food. New Testament, Matthew 20:20, is food, spices. It tells you that. Old Testament, same thing. It never asks you for money. 10% is not 10% of no income. It's 10% of your harvest. If the churches want money to pay bills, then ask for that point blank. Don't ever put God's name in front of it and say, God said, because he never said it. You can't show me anywhere. If you can find it, I will wait.
Malachi, in the third chapter of Malachi.
Malachi 3:8 says, would a man rob God of tithes and offerings? But read 9, 10, 11, 12, and see what it says, bring meat to the storehouse, not money. Bring meat to the storehouse, not money.
But now
I'm gonna break in on this for a minute, because it doesn't, to me, this is just my opinion. To me, it doesn't matter what time it is. If the book is written and we believe in this book, and it says no changes of this book, it doesn't matter what time it is, because this book was written way before any of us was born, and we've been following this book, and we need to follow this book as it has been written.
That's right.
Not change.
You're right.
Not modify. Not make it better.
No.
It's just like I was always bothered with why Easter is celebrated the way Easter is celebrated. Because it does not have anything to do with the resurrection of God. It doesn't have nothing to do with it. So, yes, on Easter Sunday, that is my baptism day. Because I knew what it meant.
That's a good thing, though, right?
Yes, but I don't do the eggs and the rabbits and all that.
Oh, no.
What about the people that believe in his resurrection?
And that's all it's for me. Not no eggs, not no rabbits,
that's
not
Passover.
No chocolate bunnies.
That's Passover.
No, but that's for the children.
It should be called Passover.
That's Passover.
Correct.
In the Bible. That's Passover. It ain't got no doing with.
Well, let me say something. Do y'all still do oblations with goats and pigeons in the?
I know where you're going with this. Let me answer that.
No. Wait a minute. Let me finish. Let me just say this right here.
Yeah. That's
now, the dispensation has changed. Now,
no,
if you read the scripture,
no,
you know
one
that.
Law has changed.
Wait,
one law.
No,
one law
wait,
has
wait,
changed.
Wait,
that's
wait.
Special law. Special law is the only thing that changed, because Jesus, when Yeshua died on the cross, that was the only rule in the book that changed. No other than 613 laws changed.
Have you read? Okay, let me ask you something. All right. Now, I'm going to ask you again. Question. Are they still doing bulls and lambs and goats? Are they still doing it? Are they still taking the vegetables, the tenth of their harvest? Are they still taking the first fruits of their harvest, the watermelons, the tomatoes? And,
okay.
Or are they still taking that for the tenth of
the
harvest?
Ask,
are they still
question.
Doing it?
Let me ask the question. First question you said about the sacrifice. No, as I said, the only law that has changed when Yeshua died on the cross was the sacrificial law. Should they be taking the food harvest to church? Yes. Do they? No. And the reason why, because man, the harvest to money, because that's what he wanted, and that's what he asked for. I have no problem giving money to a church, but tell me you want money for the church to pay bills. Don't tell me God said, because that's a lie. That's a straight-up lie. Why lie?
What did he say?
That's why we have to choose which church we go to. Go to
and
one that you feel that
yeah,
you
yeah,
like.
Now, what church you been to, Ben? Hey, brother, what church you been to? Hey, brother, what church you been to, Drew, that have took your money and have hurt you to the point
nobody
where...
Nobody hurt me, sir. Nobody's hurt me. They've been lying to me. They've been lying to me all my life.
Okay. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You can't.
Lying.
What did Jesus say? He said, through my love and kindness have I thrown thee. So now, if there's
no love,
if you're speaking from, if you're speaking from a bitter standpoint of view,
biblical standpoint,
okay.
And that has nothing to do with what you just asked me. That has nothing to do with.
What
I don't
you
know
mean?
Pastors, you're pulling scriptures out there.
Andrew, I knew where you're coming from. That. I got it.
When you go in these edifices, who's paying the light man? Who's paying the gas company?
Again, did you not hear what I just
who's
said earlier?
The
I don't care if you ask for money. I don't care if you ask for money. Just ask for money point blank. Don't say God said it. Just ask for it out of the point blank. I want money to pay bills. Don't use God's name as a product to sell it. Just say, I want money to pay bills. Man, here's your money. Don't sit here and say, well, God said. That's a lie. You can't show it to me in the Bible. Please do that. Please show
me.
I will wait.
Some people don't say that. They just say,
yeah, what? You tell me what church don't start. Church don't start
time
by
for your time.
What?
Thank you for that. Everybody's so passionate about this. We're going to go on to eight things to do when spiritual warfare gets real. Okay? The fight for our life, which is why we're so passionate about this. There's a young
passionate.
Man, I'm reading from the eight things to do when spiritual warfare gets real. There's a young man that he talks about his journey marrying his wife and her being pregnant. And he said for about 3 years that he was just going through it, and he thought as a Christian that you can't go through warfare. Little did he not know he was going through it. He wasn't eating well. There were things falling from the wall, lights coming off and on. So one night he decided to, he turned on a station, and he could barely hear what it was saying. It was static. And from the station, the best, only thing he could hear was, something that was quoted from Paul's exhortation to Timothy. It said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. Then he went to explain the fear is a spirit. And then people sometimes think that it is not, but fear is a spirit. So after he turned this radio off, he asked, what should I do? I can't sleep. I'm going through all these things. Immediately he heard a voice, and the spirit said, you've been listening to the spirit of insanity and the spirit of fear. Tell them to leave you right now. So he was lying on the back on the floor, and he said in a quiet but confident voice, you spirit of fear, you spirit of insanity, get off me right now in Jesus' name. He said suddenly he felt something get off of his body. It physically felt like a lead blanket. He said his shaking completely stopped, and peace filled his soul. And we do have to have that confidence that God has given us that strength, that armor of God to fight. So after 3 years, he was amazed to be filled with peace, and his appetite came back and all those things. It's important that we understand we're not warring against ourselves. The war is finally when we recognize that these thoughts are not our own and that we have to resist them. Ephesians 6:10-13 says, finally be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God. And we talked about the full armor again. We talked about the six different ways that we have the armor of God. We talked about the truth. We talked about the breastplate of righteousness, the feet, the peace, the shield of faith. And we talked about the helmet, salvation, the sword, the word of God, which we're talking about, and praying. Spiritual conflicts often occur when we advance into new territory that is exhibited by the evil spirit. It's important to understand that evil spirits attack by giving us thoughts that are compelling. They make you feel like you want to do them, even though they are the opposite of what our nature is. Okay? So some of the eight things, don't be afraid, but instead remember the Lord.
Nehemiah 4:14. When I saw this fear, I rose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, the rest of the people. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Remember the testimonies in your life, their weapons of warfare. Fear yourself with faith by holding on to your testimony. Revelation 19:10 says the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy, meaning if God's done it before, he can and will do it again. Remember your work is noble. Nehemiah 6:3. So I sent messages to them which replied, I'm carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? Okay? Trust Jesus to keep you. Jude 24 says, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence. Also, number 7, no matter what, nothing can separate you from God's love, not even the valley. Okay? Neither death nor life. And also remember that God never leaves you, and he's walking through the valley with you. Even though I walk the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. Psalms 23:4. So those are about 18 that can be done. Also, remember that you want to put on your armor of God, which we talked about that. You want to get into your word, which is very important. Read it for yourself. If someone tells you something, read it for yourself. Ask God. Seek wise counsel. Find a church. Go amongst people who you can praise and worship God with. If one church doesn't work for you, go to another one. Find a church that works for you. God uses spiritual warfare to grow us and shape us even more into his image. Stay strong and do not become disheartened, because you can have his comfort, his will, and his sovereignty. You are a warrior from the kingdom of heaven. Put on your armor and go fight for your battle. Remember, he is with you. Are there any final comments from any of our listeners?
If you believe in him, he said, stand, and stand on what you believe.
Well, thank you. We'll be right back with a word from our sponsors. And then we'll be listening to a song.
Let's Do It Radio at doitallinthemall.com. We're online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that includes holidays.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. Woo! To break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power.
There is power.
There is power
in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break
every,
break every chain,
break every chain.
Come on, say it.
Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
There's an army rising. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up, yeah. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Thank you. You just listened to the song by Tasha Cobbs, Break Every Chain. Thank you for joining me, and I will talk with you in 2 weeks. Thank you for everyone that has joined the show. Thank you for your passion. Thank you for your thoughts.
Like never before, we're waging war.
Anoint my head,
oh, yeah.
Anoint my feet,
celebrate
it down. Here on the battleground,
for your glory,
for your glory.
We're taking
territory, fighting unseen enemies.
Like never before,
we're waging war.
I'm tired of principality messing with me.
Waging war.
Tired of the devil stealing from me.
please leave comments on these shows. As you shop through the mall, the more funds we build up and a commission is earned on qualified purchases to go back into your communities where your money matters. You can change lives and make lives matter while making a difference nationwide and even worldwide. Make Do It All in the Mall your shopping headquarters. Donations are welcome as well. Click on the donate button on the homepage of doitallinthemall.com. Contact us if you'd like to be on Let's Do It Radio, have a topic for discussion, or advertise your business by sending an email to doitallinthemall@yahoo.com or completing the contact us information on the homepage of doitallinthemall.com. The old-fashioned way of calling works by dialing either 509-406-6920, or you can Skype us in, listen to us, or talk to us at 845-241-9985. Tuesdays, retired teacher Janet Schwartz, Keeping History Alive. Wednesdays, Reverend Carolyn McCullough, teaching from the Bible. Wednesday evenings, alternating with Stephanie Lott Whitfield. It is what it is. 6 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. Thursdays, hanging out with Sergeant Parks and keeping it real. Thursday evenings, alternating with Andre Pearson. Why does love hurt so good? 6 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern. Fridays, Terry Whaley, Vitiligo Man of Action, vibing with Vitiligo. Saturdays, Kids Movies, Listen With Your Ears Day, 3 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern. Sunday Service, Listen Only to Guest Speakers, 3 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern. First Sundays, Reverend Carolyn McCullough. Second Sundays, Pastor Beatrice Jenkins. Third Sundays, Reverend Carolyn Williamson. Fourth Sundays, Reverend Ronnie Marshall. Fifth Sundays, Reverend W.F. Pride.